Amen. Beautiful Christmas song. Amen. And I appreciate that. 1 Peter chapter number 2, where our text will be tonight. 1 Peter chapter number 2. I read this last Sunday night as we had our Thanksgiving time together and gave thanks. And I came prepared to say some words on it, and I didn't. And so I felt like the Lord would be pleased to allow us to do that today, tonight. And I hope that it will be a blessing to you as we study the Word of God. I thank God for His Word, don't you? Amen. I really do. I'm amazed at how God works in that His Word is so powerful. His Word is so timely, so full. I mean, just totally full. When you go to studying, digging in for things, you just find it richer and richer and richer. Amen. Rather than, seem like, you know, rather than fool's gold that looks real good on the outside, but you dig at it a little bit and you realize it's not much really there. The Word of God, a lot of times we pass over and we just run right by real nuggets. I mean, real veins of gold. But when we study a little bit, we'll find it. And a man could never produce a book like God's book is. That's right. He couldn't do it. And that's one reason I believe that we can know that we have a divine book, a divinely inspired and preserved book. And I am grateful and thankful that we do. Amen. But the book of God is not really why we're here tonight. It's because of the Son of God. That's amen. On the Lord's day, this is His day. Amen. That's what we're going to look at in the text. 1 Peter chapter number 2. The Bible says, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby." Amen. That's a good way to talk about coming to church. We ought to lay aside all the worries and the cares and the troubles of the world, and as newborn babes, focus on the Word of God. Amen. Verse 3, "If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scriptures, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed." I want to focus, if I can, this evening on three verses. Verse number 4 uses one word. I want to look at one word, verse 4. "To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God, and," that last word, "precious." And then verse number 6 talks about as well, "Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect," and then the word, "precious. And he that believeth on him shall not be confounded." Verse number 7, "Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious." And I want to look at those things and preach on the thought, he is precious. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer for the hall. Would you lead us in prayer, please?
Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being in God's house tonight. Thank you, Lord, for giving us the opportunity to worship in spirit and in truth.
Yes. Yes.
Set our minds and our hearts and our affections upon Thee tonight. Lord, I pray that You'd help us to love us because You first loved us.
Yes.
Give us divine grace tonight and wisdom to help the pastor. Give you grace and the Word of God to preach it. Help those for you saved them. It's called sin of sin of their unbelief and sin of their the world. And,
yes.
And old head and nature and deliver them, I pray, by the good grace of God. Yes. Help us, I pray, Lord, to worship now in spirit and truth in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. And I do appreciate that prayer. Amen. The word precious has a lot of meaning. I didn't look it up and get you a definition for it. I think we understand what precious is. We talk about precious metals or precious stones in particular. A precious stone at one time. Well, let me say it this way. A precious stone as in a diamond, that's what you think. I was sort of wondering about Joshua this morning. He's talking about diamonds and a jeweler setting that diamond in the ring. I don't know if he's been talking to him lately for some reason or something. But he was mentioned about that. And the thought came to me that that is a precious stone. And a diamond ring is a precious thing for a lot of reasons. But there was a day when that diamond was not so beautiful. That diamond was not so valued. There was a time it was just another rock. That diamond was just among the dirt, among the unknown. But somebody searched it out. Somebody found it. Somebody fixed it, cleaned it up, cut it right. All the things that go, polished it, all the things that go along with it. And then they set it in a ring and it is a precious stone. But then somebody buys that ring, purchases that ring, and gives it to somebody for an engagement ring, it's become known as. That's precious because it is a promise. Not just the fact that it's a rock on a ring, but it's precious because of what it represents. But then, years later, down the road, the engagement's done, they've been married, and maybe both of them passed on. Maybe that same ring's found in a drawer somewhere years later. A granddaughter finds her grandmother's ring. And it's even precious yet. Not just because it's a rock in a ring. Not because it's a promise. Because who is remembered when they look at that ring? That's, we use the word precious. Our Lord is precious far indeed more than any rock in a ring. Amen. He's far more precious even than a promise that is made between two people to share their life together. He's more precious even than the memory of a grandmother that may have passed on that was dear to our heart. He is precious. Now, I did think about the difference in our Lord and those precious stones. Our Lord never was dirty. Our Lord never was a common rock. Amen. Our Lord's always been the impeccable Son of God. Amen. No sin in Him, no sin about Him. He knew no sin. Tempted in all manners like as we are, yet without sin. Even Pilate, doing his best to interrogate Him on three different occasions, had to say, I find no fault in Him. Amen. And so we'd all agree, I believe, I'd be preaching to the choir as they say, that we'd all agree to the fact that our Lord is precious. Our text deals with the fact that He was at once rejected. But to us who believe, He is precious. He's the chief cornerstone. He was the rock that the builders rejected. But to those that are saved by the good grace of God, He is precious. Now before you say, well, it was the Jews that rejected Him, I remind you, He was not only rejected by the Jews, but by the Gentiles as well. He came into the world and the world knew Him not. So it doesn't matter which side of the fence you're on, Jew or Gentile, the world knew Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. Praise God. Amen. He has saving power to those that believe. And so, I'll say it this way. Why is He precious to us? when he's not precious to the world. To the world, the name Jesus is a byword. Some of it's even a curse word. It's a word to be spat out rather than a word to be praised. To them, the name of Jesus is something to be stepped on. It's something to be shrugged off. It's something of no value to them. Why is it that they see him of no value? And yet we see him of great value. I'll tell you why. Because we've been purchased by his own blood. We have been saved. To them that believe, that's what verse 7 says. Therefore, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. He's not precious to the unbeliever, but he's precious to the believer. Amen. Archibald Brown, who was Charles Spurgeon's successor to the tabernacle, there was other men involved in there, but he was actually in Spurgeon's first class of the pastor's school, and then he later pastored at the Metropolitan Tabernacle. He said this, I wrote his quote down. He said, time may furrow the brow, silver the hair, weaken the memory, and eat away the strength. But the love which every saint has for his Savior defies time's power to lessen. Amen. It lessens our abilities. It lessens our strength. It never lessens the love that we have for Christ. He grows even more precious to the saint of God. The closer you get to the river, if you want to say it that way, the River Jordan representing death, the closer you get to the river, the brighter the city seems to shine because he's the light of the city. The more precious Jesus comes when we see him in that vein. So I want to think on this thought there about he is precious. I've just got 2 points and I'll not be long tonight, but 2 things I want you to think about. First of all, I want you to notice the test that's in our text. The test of the text. The text says this, verse 7, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. So he gives us 2 branches of people, 2 sides of the coin, so to speak. One side sees him as precious, the other side doesn't. And he says the difference is in belief and unbelief. Those that see him as he really is, they see him through the eye of faith. Those that have no faith, and they see the Lord not as he really is. You ever wonder, is there ever a thought that enters into your mind, am I really in God's chosen people? Am I really in the family of God? Have I ever truly been saved? There's another question to ask. Is Jesus precious? If you can answer that question right, the Bible says to them that believe, he is precious. Amen. To those that are in, you recognize him as being precious. Amen. Amen. I go back to that thought in the beginning about the diamond ring. That diamond is precious to a lot of people. I mean, the jeweler counts it precious, although they see them by the dozens. They count them precious. But to that person that the promise is attached to, that ring is even more precious. And they go around and they're showing it off. And as they're showing it off, people look at it and they say, oh, isn't that precious? Isn't that wonderful? But it's not more precious to them that the promise is not to. It's more precious to the one that the promise is unto. Amen. And so he says here, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. There are those which believe, and there are those which do not believe. Who is it that finds Christ precious? Our text says, them that believe. Amen. Are you in them that believe? If you are, then you agree Jesus is precious. Now you might use the argument, and some do use the argument, well, the devils believe, they don't count Jesus as precious. But the devils don't believe with saving faith. The devils believe that God is, and they're angry at the fact that God is. The devils recognized Jesus as the Son of God. They recognized Jesus as the promised Messiah. Our Lord told them to shut their mouth because their statement, although it was something they knew to be true, it was not saving faith that they recognized. It's a legal faith, if you want to say it that way, that they have there. The devil's faith never works through love. They have no love for the Savior. None. They hate the Savior. They hate the sound of His name. They hate the deeds that He does. They hate the Lord. But to those that know Him, to those that have believed with saving faith, faith worketh by love. Isn't that what the Bible says? Amen. And faith working by love causes us to love Him who first loved us. Amen. And we see Him as precious because we believe. Amen. One of the things I'm convinced that the world's filled with today is people that believe nobody loves them. Nobody. Daddy didn't treat me right. Mama didn't treat me right. The government's not treating me right. The world's not treating me right. We're living in a day when people are convinced nobody loves them. Wives whose husbands have cheated on them think every husband does that. Go back to the things going on around us. Children whose parents split up think that happens every time. Nobody loves me. They get lonelier and lonelier and lonelier. And they're convinced there's nobody that loves me. But the truth of the Bible is that although no man may care for your soul, thank God there's a God in heaven. He said, though my father forsake me, though my mother, God talked about even the mother that could forget her sucking child, yet God said, I will not forget thee. Amen. Though my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord shall take me up. That's what Psalm 27 says. I'm glad God loves us with an everlasting love. Amen. He set us at the banqueting table. That's where we're at tonight. And His banner over us is love. Amen. Thank God for the love of God. And that love is expressed. How do we know that God loves the world? He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. This time of year is a wonderful time of year. We get caught up in the giving of gifts, but the idea is, remember that God showed His love to a world in darkness by sending the light. God loved a world in sin by sending a Savior. God loved a world in depravity by sending us a Redeemer that could take our sins upon Himself and pay the price we could never pay. Amen. God loved so much that He gave. Amen. And if we can ever believe that love, faith working through love, bring us to the Savior and recognize He is precious. It's a simple question. Are you in the faith? Ask the question, is Jesus precious to you? What does He mean to you? Is He just another person? Is He on the same level as Mohammed? Is He on the same level as other teachers, we might say? Confucius, Buddha. I've heard so many people. I remember when I was on the radio in Wilkesboro, I did my program live on this AM station, and I remember the radio announcer, in my message, I had said something about Buddha being in hell, Confucius being in hell, but Jesus is alive and well. And when I got done, that young man that was running the board, and my program was off, he said, "Preacher, I don't know if I can agree with all that or not." I said, "Why?" He said, "Because Confucius and Buddha were good men." I said, "So? Good men go to hell if they're not saved by the grace of God." He said, "But they lived before the time of Christ. They probably never even knew about Christ." I said, "So? That doesn't change the fact that there's only one way in." And when I went through that, Jesus said, "I am the way." If you don't come through Jesus, for whatever reason you don't come through Jesus, you have no hope. Amen. But He put Jesus on the same level with Mohammed and with Buddha and Confucius and the whole crowd. Listen, Nicodemus, I believe, had a little problem with that. He said, "We know thou art a good teacher come from God." He put him on a level with other teachers, but Jesus wanted him to know, you need something more than a good teacher. You need a Redeemer. You need a Savior. Amen. Jesus is above all of them. He's precious to them that believe. This question is not only a simple question, it's a searching question. Because it doesn't ask how much you know. It asks, what does Jesus mean to your heart? Amen. To them, unto you, therefore, which believe, He is precious. Amen. There are people that know a lot of things about God. They know a lot of things about the Bible. They know a lot of things about orthodoxy. They can tell you whether or not a sermon is theologically correct. I almost said politically correct. They can tell you whether or not it's orthodox, whether it's sound. They have all that judgment. They know about all those things, but they don't pass the test because the test is not how much do you know. The test is Jesus precious to your soul? There are those that know all the do's and don'ts of religion. They know how to dress. They know how to talk. They know how to act. Amen. They know where to go, what to do, what not to do. But they're not tested on the law. They're tested on love. The question is Jesus precious to you? I think about the person that just recently got saved. Somebody just hadn't been saved a long time. They don't know a lot. They don't know a whole lot about the Bible. They can't find the book of Esther, for example. They have trouble and, you know, looking in our, let's say, First, Second Samuel, First, Second Kings, First and Second Chronicles, First and Second Hezekiah, First and Second Opinion. They don't know where all those books of the Bible are. They may not know. They don't know the lingo. They don't know how to do the talk. But boy, they know one thing. They know Jesus is precious to them. They may not know all about what to do and what not to do. They may look up with respect to somebody that's been in it a while that knows when to say amen and knows when to stand and knows when to bow their head and knows how to do all that. They may look up with respect to that, but one thing they do know, He's precious to them. They might be able to say, like the paraphrasing what the blind man said in John 9. You know, the blind man said, they said, we know he's a sinner. Just go ahead and confess the fact this man's a sinner. He said, whether he be a sinner or not, I know not. But this one thing I do know, whereas I once was blind, I now can see. Amen. Amen. They can say, well, there's a lot of things I don't know. I don't know all about the Bible. I don't know all about this religion. I don't know all the do's and don'ts. But one thing I do know, whereas one time I was an enemy to God, whereas one time I was a stranger to Christ, now God is my Father and Christ Jesus is my Savior and my Lord. And He is precious. Amen. There's a test of our text. And then, secondly, there's not only the test, but there's the sweetness to the saint. The test in the text and the sweetness to the saint. He said, unto you therefore which believe, and I underline this word, He is precious. It's not all the things that accompany Him. It's not just the fact, boy, I praise God, I got a home in heaven. I am thankful I got a home in heaven. But if there were no home in heaven, Jesus is precious. Amen. Thank God we could name a lot of different things that we could try to tack on that comes with, they accompany salvation. They're the fringe benefits of salvation. We can thank God for all that. But can I tell you, if there was none of that, none of that, thank God just knowing Jesus. One song said, being where Jesus is heaven enough for me. Amen. Just being with Him because He is what's precious to our soul. You say, I don't know about all that, preacher. I know what immediately somebody probably thought. But Paul said, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. And he did say that, and I understand his point in that. But Paul was not saying that heaven is all we're living for. Paul was not saying that the next life is all there is, because Paul recognized the present presence of Christ. I just read this morning, 2 Timothy chapter number 4, where Paul said, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray the Lord lay it not to their charge. But he said, nevertheless, the Lord stood with me. Amen. Nevertheless, the Lord stood with me and delivered me out of the mouth of the lion. Amen. And thank God Christ was there with him. And Paul recognized the preciousness of Christ. Listen, he hadn't got to heaven yet, but he's rejoicing now because he had Jesus now. Amen. There's where we are. We got the promise of heaven, thank God. And it's as good as if we already were seated together in heavenly places. Amen. But in spite of the fact that heaven's not mine today, I'm not in heaven right now. I've got heaven in my soul because we've got Jesus. He is precious. That's the point that I'm trying to drive home. The preciousness, I want you to listen to this statement. The preciousness of Christianity to the Christian is Christ. Amen. Amen. I want to say that again. It takes the word Christianity and keeps breaking it down. The preciousness of Christianity to the Christian is Christ. Amen. I thank God for my brethren. I thank God for the house of God. Joshua's teaching there about the church and the moon. I thank God for the local church. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. If it were not for the local church, we'd be in a mess. Amen. Trying to be just stars out there on our own shining. Thank God we ought to be shining. But thank God for when we can assemble together and be in that church that Christ bought with His own blood and gathered together and He is working through to this day. Amen. What a blessing. But it's not just the assembly of the saints. It's not just the church that's precious. It's Him. It's Him. We'd just be meeting like the Lions Club or the whatever else. I don't know what all these, you know, these different ones that meet together. We'd just be meeting like they are if it wasn't for Jesus. He makes all the difference because He is precious. The greatness of Christianity is that we have a wonderful Savior. A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. A wonderful Savior to me. Amen. I'm glad I got a God-preserved, God-ordained book. I'm glad for that. Amen. But the most precious thing of Christianity is not necessarily our book. It's our Savior that the book told us about. Amen. Amen. It's the Savior. Thank God we have an honorable religion. If we don't say it that way, Christianity is a great thing, thank God. But the preciousness of it all is in Jesus. I can name a lot of things, and we just came through Thanksgiving. We ought to thank God that we have a nice church building here. Amen. Amen. It hadn't always been this way, you know. You go back to the early days when early churches were gathering, they would meet in homes until they could have their own buildings. Sometimes they'd meet in a school building, and Independent Baptists met in storefronts, and on and on and on it goes. But here we are today. And by the way, Island Ford Baptist Church has not always been the nice facility that we have today. Right. Amen. I don't remember it a whole lot different. I do remember when you had the orange pews. Amen. I've tried to forget that, but I can't forget it. Amen. No, I'm kidding. Amen. But I do remember some changes. I remember before you had the fellowship hall. I remember before we had the new radio station offices that are built, and you know, the things like that. I can remember a few of the changes that have been made. I thank God for a great building, but it'd be just another building if it wasn't for the fact we come in here and our Savior meets with us in the house of God. Amen. Amen. Thank God for the songs we sing. I've run this route before. Thank God for the songs we sing. I'm glad we're not singing some hip-hop, bebop, amen, some kind of something they brought out of the jungles somewhere, beating on the drums, say amen right there. Amen. Some kind of mess. I really am. I'm thankful that we're not singing those songs. But even the songs we sing would just be another song if it wasn't for the one we sing about. Amen. Amen. If it wasn't for the one we're singing to. Amen. He is precious. Amen. I'm glad we come to a place, and I believe we should come to a place where men dress like gentlemen and act like gentlemen. Amen. Have manners and morals like gentlemen. And where ladies dress like ladies. Amen. Have morals and manners like ladies ought to have. I'm glad we have that. Amen. But even above all that, I'm thankful for Jesus. Just to be honest with you, I don't know where all of you were before you got saved, but let me just say it this way. We'd be a bunch of dopers and drunks and hoodlums. Amen. If it wasn't that Jesus made a difference in our life. For the day when the light shined into our darkness. Amen. When the precious Lord Jesus made Himself known to us and we saw Him as precious. Amen. What's so precious about Jesus? Well, even His name is precious. Even His name is precious. In 1855, Frederick Wilson wrote a song entitled, "Oh, How I Love Jesus." Oh, me. Way back, even before the Civil War, he wrote that song, and it's still sung to this day. Some people know it by its first line. There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its worth. That song that Frederick Wilson wrote, that song that Frederick Wilson wrote, most hymnals, I didn't look at ours, most hymnals have 3, 4, or 5 verses. His original had 9. A full 1/3 of those verses, 3 out of those 9 verses were devoted to the name of Jesus. Amen. I've got them before me. I print them off. It says, "There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in my ear. The sweetest name on earth." These next two are not well known. Jesus, the name I love so well, the name I love to hear. No saint on earth its worth can tell. No heart conceive how dear. This name shall shed its fragrance still along this thorny road. Shall sweetly smooth the rugged hill that leads me up to God. Amen. Frederick Wilson had great reverence for the name of Jesus. Jesus, that precious name. Amen. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Amen. Amen. Then, even back before that, 1779, John Newton, well known for writing Amazing Grace, wrote a song. And the title of his song is this, "How Sweet the Name of Jesus Sounds." First verse of that song, or one verse of that song, says this, "How sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. It soothes his sorrows, heals his wounds, and drives away his fears." Amen. You'd have to agree with me if you're those that believe that even the name of Jesus is precious. Amen. Jesus is the sweetest name on earth. Now, others bear that name, Jesus. You got Jesus, common name among the Spanish-speaking people. And to some people, the name of Jesus is just a common name. My brother works for Lowe's companies and has for a number of years, and he did at one time he works in the office area, and he worked for the group that where they were calling people and asking why they hadn't paid their bills. He didn't like that job, but he said they had a conference. They all had, and they went through this thing and tell them some things you don't do. And one of the things you don't do, one of the girls had done it, was called up and said, "Hey, is Jesus at home?" Because she thought Jesus was Jesus. But even though common people may bear the name of Jesus, Jesus is not a common name. It's a superb name. It's a precious name. None could be as precious as Jesus. Amen. Not only is He precious in His name, but He's precious in His embodiment. What are you talking about? Jesus is God manifest in the flesh. How much more precious can you get than that? He's God manifest in the flesh. Turn with me to Luke chapter number 2. I'll read you a little section of scripture. If you'll go with us to the temple, Simeon's there, Luke chapter 2, verses 29 through 32. Simeon is there in the temple and he looked for the Redeemer. He'd been promised by the Holy Ghost that he would not die until his eyes had beheld the Redeemer, until he'd seen the Messiah. Verse number 29 of Luke chapter 2, he picks the Lord Jesus up in his arms and he says, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, to lighten a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. When you see Jesus on these Christmas decorations, you see the little baby laying in the manger. Remember, that's the Son of God. That is God manifest in the flesh. Amen. That is God manifest in the flesh. I am amazed that the King of glory, the God of all heaven, would allow His darling Son come to the filth of this world to save the filth of this world. Amen. The offscouring of all the world, of all flesh. Jesus came in all of His purity, and the filth of this world could not attach itself to Jesus. The filth of this world could not ingratiate itself to Jesus. Jesus would have none of it. He came to do the will of the Father, and He did always the will of the Father. And if you look at that babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, and you'll see who He is, what He is God manifest in the flesh. You'll have to say with Simeon, He is precious. This is not just another baby. Amen. You go with the wise men to the house and you see the star standing sentinel over the house where the Lord was. It's interesting to me that the wise men apparently didn't come the same time the shepherds did. I know in the plays they did, and part of it's to continue the story along. But our Lord was not in a stable. Mary and Joseph's not spending the night in a stable anymore. They're in a house in Jerusalem. And it would appear that it's not a babe. He's certainly not laying in a manger now. He's the young child. But they come, and if you would come with the wise men, I'll tell you what you'd do. You would bow with the wise men. And you would cast your gifts to Him like the wise men did. For you would say, He truly is precious. Amen. I keep going in my mind thinking about different people in the Bible and different statements and different things as our Lord did. And I'll skip over a whole lot of people just looking at the Lord's life. Go to the Garden of Gethsemane and see Him as He goes a little farther than the other disciples go. That's what He came to do, by the way, to go a little farther than anybody else could go. He goes a little farther and He falls on His face. And He prays earnestly. The book of Hebrews said that He wrestled. The book of Hebrews said that He had fear. The book of Hebrews talks about even how He learned. Amen. In that prayer in the garden, our Lord is, He's desperate in prayer, getting a hold of God and dealing with His Father. And as I said this morning, He goes three different times. But when you see Him with His sweat become, as it were, great drops of blood, you'd have to agree with me. Jesus is precious. He's more than just a man. He's more than just a good teacher. He's more than somebody starting a religion. He's the Savior. Amen. You look as He withstands all the beatings, the cursings, the slaps, the cruel mockings, The crown of thorns, the rod, the reed beating him, smiting him, the hand smiting him, the plucking off of the hairs of his face. On and on you go. The stripes laid on his back. He endured all of that. Not just enduring the pain. He endured the shame. And when you look at him as he takes his cross and he heads up the hill and he lays down his life for men. And you hear the words that come out of his mouth. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You'll have to agree with me. He is precious. Unto them that believe. Let me go back there. Verse 7. Unto you, therefore, which believe, He is precious. Have you believed on Him? Let me go on a little further. Go to that resurrection day. Not talking about at the empty tomb. That's good. We could talk about that. But go to that room, that upper room where they're meeting in fear. And the Lord shows up in their midst. And He breathes on them and says, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Talking about John 20. And He reveals Himself to them. And He talks to them, gives them the keys. He talks about. Amen. He talks to them, gives them the great commission to go and spread the gospel around the world. I believe there you can see very well how the church, I see the church in that picture. But you see our Lord as He's doing all that. Then He empowers His disciples. They move from being fearful men to being fearless men. Men no longer hiding in the upper room, but men standing on the streets preaching the Word of God. Men standing in the temple preaching the Word of God. Men standing on the day of Pentecost preaching the Word of God. And empowered they were. They were empowered by the Lord Jesus. And He taught them 40 days. And then He ascended up. With the promise, I shall return. Amen. This same Jesus, whom you see taken away from you, shall return. Amen. Shall come again. Amen. I'm saying to you and I that believe, He is precious. Let me give you two more thoughts, and I'm done. Just two more thoughts about things we can look at. I could run these rabbits half the night and be blessed in it, to be honest with you. But go into the church house and look at the man sitting in church with hands that used to hold beer bottles. Today he's holding a Bible and maybe a baby boy or girl. And have to say, He is precious. Amen. Go with me down to the nursing home or the hospital and that little mother or grandmother that the death rattles has gotten her throat and the doctors have said there's no hope and the family's gathered around with solemn and ashen looks on her face, but not her. You see the smile on her lips and the peace in her heart, and you'll have to say, He is precious. Because He's the only one that can put that hope there. He's the only one that can put that smile there. He's the only one that can put that assurance. What is it? That's faith working with love that brings us to Christ and recognizing He is precious. Amen. To them that believe. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Heads bowed and eyes closed as they come with a song. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for Jesus. I go back in conclusion. I go back to the cross and realize there were two groups at the cross. There was a multitude. I talked about how we see Him precious. We hear Him say, Father, forgive them. We see Him endure the suffering, the shame, the sorrow. How can He say anything but He is precious? But there was a crowd there that wasn't seeing Him as precious. They were saying, crucify Him. Crucify Him. They were saying, this man must die. Why is that? Because they were not believers. They were unbelievers. The question again asked at the beginning, the test of the text, are you a child of God? Is Jesus precious to you? Has He done something for you? Have you experienced salvation? Do you have something in your heart that the world could not give and certainly cannot take away? Do you have that? Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray move in this invitation according to Thy perfect will. I'd love to see some sinner saved. Lord, I'd love to see the saints stirred. Lord, reminded how precious You are. Help us, dear God, to serve You with all of our power till our dying day because You are so precious. Bless in the invitation time. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. We're going to sing. Some have already come. If you need to come, obey the Lord. Do what He says while we sing.